It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Hey, my headset's
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports 1140.
Hey, welcome in. I think, you know what, we should hire interns. I know, you really hire interns, we can't do that. But wouldn't it be great to have like two rows of interns, and when the music starts, they're clapping, and then we get like an intro. Everybody, it's just Roger!
Like, walk, run through the line, get
yes,
high fives.
Get the high fives.
Dim the lights.
Maybe get Scott, we should get Scott Moak to record our intros again. That'd be great.
I can feel it.
I can feel it, you can feel it. Good morning, it is Wednesday. September 28th. You know, the first show I ever worked on back in the day, Quad, was...
was on this day in...
in 18... It was the Sean and Jeff show. Funny enough, Sean works here
yes,
now.
He does.
On the old defunct Quad 106.5. And they actually had a very...
You played defunct?
D-A-F-U-N-K, yes. They actually had a very popular segment every Wednesday.
Can we steal it?
We 100% could. It was called Wiener Wednesday.
Oh.
No, not that. And it was, like, listeners would write in, like, a, let me see. I just had one, too. It was, I'm going down the aisle of a grocery store, and there's a lady in the middle of the grocery store, and she's blocking the way. And I said, lady, excuse me, could you please move? And she said, you know, be patient. And I gave her the finger and walked away. Who's the wiener in this situation?
Gotcha.
So like, you know, the classic use of wiener.
It's like today, our Wine Wednesday.
Wine Wednesday.
That
exactly.
We need to add to the show.
Yes.
I told you to put it on the rundown.
I was a wiener and forgot to add the Wine Wednesday.
Right. That we need to add. So
we're going to wine that you're a wiener.
Maybe at 8:13 or 8:30.
Good morning.
Anyway.
September 28th.
Good job, Jason.
Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. And also with you.
All those things, by the way, I told you before the show, out the window.
Gone.
Gone.
Dang, I couldn't even make it.
It's like the anti-Aaron Judge. It doesn't leave.
In the morning blah, even. Like, not, wow. Just.
Jay?
Yeah.
Jay. Oh, my God, if Jason just, like, swore at you.
I'm going to give you a list of choices.
Okay.
And my dad says there's no sound. Is there sound? I don't know.
There's sound.
It also could be that my dad doesn't have his radio on. So.
This thing
works.
Pretty sure we're working.
Yeah, I feel
we're
like,
operating.
Dad, it's working. I'm not getting anything in the chat room saying no sound.
Yeah, so. Usually there's 56 comments about the sound. We know when it's not on.
Let's see. 916-339-1140 is our text line. From the 916, Dave and Jason were right about how great your interviews were yesterday. Then they left us in suspense to tune in. I had to change my schedule today to hear your interview with Monk and Keegan Murray this afternoon. Great interview. That's from Chris the Mom.
Hey, that's teasing.
That is. You know what? And that's really.
And delivering.
Exactly. We teased it and delivered it. And I expect a thank you note from Nick.
Yep.
And Rami.
And I'm sure they heaped praise for our Harrison Barnes and De'Aaron Fox interviews today.
That's a great question. Did they tease our interviews today?
Yeah.
I should have texted Chris for a lot to remind them.
You would be better off texting Jay.
That's a great.
Chris would. Yeah, you text Chris, he's going to make sure it doesn't get in the right hands.
Edit your text and then, is this what you wanted? I'm like, wait, no, that's
put
not
that out
what I
there.
Asked.
Yeah, it's not great.
Hey, you were going to tell me something about Saturday morning.
I was, and thank you for reminding
me.
Last
Saturday morning or this Saturday morning?
Saturday mornings in general. You know, Tom Maley is so old and weird, KNCI morning show host. We were talking about food this morning, and I told him about a dish I make, and he goes, send me the recipe. And it's a chicken bacon dish.
Yeah.
Chicken breast wrapped in bacon in like a cream mushroom sour cream sauce. Right?
Okay.
He says, I'm going to remind you later today to send me that recipe. I said, no problem. You should, because I'll forget. He just sent me a text reminding me to send him the recipe.
From
4 minutes ago. And he said, send me your chicken bacon soup recipe. There's no At no point was there any conversation.
I think you
soup.
Should change the recipe.
I honestly should just send him a chicken bacon soup recipe. Yeah.
Honestly,
Lord.
Tom is just so adorable.
He really is.
Is he?
It's just one of those things where old people, they can be useful, though also slow and annoying at times. And Tom's kind of like that. Like, Tom's, he can't hear.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I see.
Wow.
You hear great, though. And, you know, let's be honest. Tom's definitely closer to one side than the other side of life, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but...
It got dark.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
That's... Make sure the recipe's good.
Oh, I'm definitely...
You need to enjoy that final meal.
It's all dairy and bacon. Oh. Yeah, exactly. Here you go, Tom. We were going to talk about... I hit you with this morning and then stopped.
Yeah, you said, I'm saving this for the show.
I said that I will... Now it sounds really dumb. I will always have a special place in my heart for George of the Jungle, the cartoon, because George of the Jungle always started out Saturday morning cartoons for me, and I will always remember that.
That was the leadoff one.
That was the first cartoon. For me, it was George of the Jungle, I think, at 5:30 in the morning. Like, hey, dude.
Whoa, you were ready to go.
I was, like, basically.
So you've always been a morning person.
No, just on Saturdays. Cartoons, I think, were my first sports that I, like, obsessed on. And Saturday mornings, hey, kids, back in the day, Saturday mornings, You had this whole...
It's a lost art.
It is. And that's what I wanted to talk about. So it would be George of the Jungle at 5:30. I want to say Johnny Quest at like 6. And then you'd head into, you know, depending on what generation you were in, because they'd come and go, but you'd have Smurfs,
sure.
Transformers, you know, obviously Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry, you know, and it would just go on and on and on, usually till about 9, 10 a.m.
Yeah. I think part of that appeal, too, and I don't know if we can get this again, was you weren't getting those cartoons any other time.
Any other time.
So you had to wait till Saturday morning. That's right. Now, of course, you can YouTube anything.
And, sure.
Maybe the equivalent, maybe, is if you watch a Netflix series, a Hulu series, whatever it might be, and then the series ends and you got, oh, the new one's coming out this time. You have to wait for them, but you can choose if, like, I'm going to watch all 10 episodes.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch one. I'm going to, you know...
You
can
binge. But
that anticipation was a big deal, like just because you couldn't get it.
There's almost no more anticipation. It's season to season now. You know, to your point about that, like the new Dragon show on HBO, that's coming out week to week. So they're kind of.
That would be one, I guess.
That would be one. But there's very few examples. Most release entire seasons, and then you binge them, and then you wait until the next season.
Because we've now trained ourselves to do that. Like you can choose when. I mean, there are people that have watched the first one the first minute they can get it.
Yes.
But a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to wait till 3 or 4 episodes are in, and boom.
Yeah, you don't have that. And now you have everything's access. Like, my kids can just go into their DVR, and they've got their stuff set up, and, oh, hey, here's the menu of shows I have on demand to watch. You know, there was something special about waiting, getting up Saturday morning. School was done. You had the weekend. You had a whole day planned of riding bikes and shooting baskets or whatever. And you'd be sitting there.
Activities everywhere.
Activities everywhere. Yeah. Yes. You'd build some bunk beds.
Yeah.
And you would be there in your PJs and a blanket, and the whole house was quiet, and you have a giant, massive bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
And the cartoons come on, and you watch the cartoons, and then it would usually be like college football.
Yeah.
Come on, like 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. or
Kids
whatever.
Gets in the way of the cartoons.
Exactly. And it used to piss me off.
Right.
Like, I don't want this. I want... And they were on, like, the major networks.
Yeah. You know what else you did then?
Huh.
Besides the big bowl of cereal and getting yourself comfy and watching everything, you watched the commercials.
You 100% watched the commercials.
Oh, I want that. I want that Hot Wheel.
I want that Star Wars toy from Kenner.
Yes.
I want it
now. Gotta have it.
I don't think parents were angrier at anything else than the commercials when we watched our television shows.
Oh,
our parents were angry at those?
Oh, yeah.
Because we wanted them?
Because we wanted them?
Yes. Yeah. And we bugged them relentlessly.
Where's the beef?
Where's the Beef Lady was amazing.
You know her name?
She's not alive anymore.
Lucy.
You know, Layla, I know Lucy. This.
Isn't it Lucy?
No.
What is it?
Edna?
No.
Irene?
Agnes.
Eula.
Bert.
Clara.
Clara Parsons?
Clara Fawcett.
Clara Bell.
Peller?
Clara Peller?
Yeah.
Yeah, Clara Peller sounds like a part on a plane.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
She will not be coming up in celebrity birthdays today.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's like the fourth time you said Clara's dead. And
it's the second time I said she's dead. Well, that's the
third. I miss that. That's something that, and this is where you sound old, this generation, but they just won't know
back
that.
In my day.
Or like you spent the night at a friend's house or vice versa, and you both get up and are watching cartoons, and you know you have activities planned all day.
Did you have a friend that would do the, hey, Mom, Dave wants to know if he can stay over? And it's like, no. Like, just you ask.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. Why are you asking on behalf of me?
Yeah,
and the worst was when she says no.
Yeah.
Like,
tell him no.
100% of the time I went to church as a lad was when I spent the night at a friend's house.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, it's like, okay, you can spend the night, but you got to go to church.
Then you stop liking that friend.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I remember bobbing for apples a bunch and then realizing later in life how disgusting bobbing for apples is when you think about it. You've got a bunch of random people open mouth grabbing an apple.
Had this happen more than one time?
Yeah, every Halloween there'd be apple bobbing as one of the activities, and you're like, everyone's
not very sanitary.
Their mouth in a spit water for what? And what's your award? A danged apple. Give me bobbing for cookies.
Might be a little soggy.
I'm just saying, I don't know, bobbing for cash. That's fine.
Also might be some
Apple?
Bitcoin.
We got bobbing for Bitcoin. We got a big show for you.
New segment coming up on Tuesdays.
It's Media Day. Put it right after Wine Wednesday, please. Media Day Part 2. De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes join us. We got football. We've got clinching baseball teams. It's down the stretch we come. And Wine Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's all coming up on a Wednesday show next.
From the draft to free agency to the summer league to the games that matter the most.
It's good! And it's pandemonium at Golden 1 Center.
When it comes to the Kings, nobody has you covered like Sactown Sports, your local sports leader.
Let's do it.
It's time for Leading Off.
Brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
Yeah, everybody's had an individual player development meeting already in the offseason. So everybody has a general feel of what we are looking for from each guy individually, hopefully coinciding with what our team goals are.
Well, that's Coach Mike Brown. Ah! I love the scream. It's like the highlight of training camp so far.
Do they have it all figured out? I mean, they've had a day. Like, let's go. Who's starting? Is the defense better? They're making all their shots. Are they going to be the one seed?
Let me ask you, do things seem a little too loose out there?
Oh, getting careless and carefree?
You're screaming and at, you know, media day. You're opening practice up to the media. And
coaches are running.
Coaches are running. Like, I don't see Greg Popovich doing that.
Yeah.
I don't see Red Auerbach doing that back in the day.
Greg Popovich doesn't do that. They've been in the lottery the last 3 years.
Yeah. I don't see I don't see Monty Williams doing that.
Yeah, he's
communicating might be doing that
with all his players.
No, they're Mike Brown's establishing his presence with authority. Yeah. It seems like a fun bunch. And they, I think a lot of yesterday and a lot of early training camp, let's be honest, is just getting acclimated.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to run these guys into the ground. You don't want any hamstrings being pulled and blah, blah, blah. I mean, obviously everyone's in good shape, but, you know, there's good shape and there's NBA shape. And Jason, we're just days away from preseason game one.
Yeah, and for, you know, the bulk of this season, when we're talking about this team, we will at some point, we talk about training camp bingo phrases, we will say, you know, there's not a lot of practice time, which is factual.
Yeah.
This is implementing scheme.
Yes.
Strategy, defense, what we want to do in the last – I mean, there's variations. But when they say we don't have a lot of practice time, they're right. This is where a lot of the work gets in. And the irony of most NBA teams, the team will be different at the deadline. The team will be different later in the year. They're just even if it's subtle things, they got to put all this in now.
You know what question I'd be interested to find out is – and too bad we didn't have an opportunity, you know – 2 days ago to ask this.
Like with everybody available?
Yeah, with everyone. Although, you know, we did not talk to Mike Brown. We didn't talk to him privately, or not privately, but separately. You know, they do this in football, and I wonder, with a new staff coming in, new schemes coming in, was yesterday the first day anyone saw any plays? Or I wonder if they got any sort of material, video, anything in the off season that they could watch on an iPad.
I think so. I'm sure they did.
I think you're right. I would honestly like to know if they did, because I do think you're right. Were they, and then how was that done? Is it written plays like you would in a football playbook, or a lot of times they'll use iPads with people running the plays, and here's your role, and here's what you're supposed to do? I would like to know if they did, when they did, and then how was it disseminated?
Yeah, and I also, you know, we'll hear today when De'Aaron tells us, Kevin Herter told us the same thing, that they've been together, they've been working out. Like, I don't know that it's just, hey, let's play pickup.
Right.
Or is it like, this is some of the stuff we run, let's... Yeah. You know, do starters versus reserves, or some sort of combo hybrid of that. I don't know what they do when they are just together as 8, 10, 12 guys.
I actually think that would be a very interesting interview. I'd love to know that, like, to really get into that world. Like, how big is a general playbook for an NBA team, and is this team going to have more, less, or about the same? You know, football has, it's an encyclopedia of plays. But in the NBA, is it really just, you know, 5, 6, 7 basic offensive plays, or the defensive plays that you kind of call? Like, I'd love to get in the mind of an NBA coach, and specifically Mike Brown, without him giving away trade secrets, but just, you know, how complicated is it? Because I do not believe it's anywhere near as complicated as football.
No, I don't either. And I think I'm thinking back to some of the stuff Doug used to share when I was with him in the afternoon. Like, there'd be sets. So basically a couple things that they know. Hey, it might be whatever it was called back then, four downs.
Right.
So basically the idea was somehow this ball is going into Chris Webber.
Right.
That's the plan.
Yes.
But, oh, Doug's back cutting. Page is over here. But, okay, it was four down, but they got Page at corner three. So, you know. I think there's offshoots of a lot of different things, where it's read and react.
Is 1-4 flat in every playbook? That's the play
of the year.
Play of the year, 1-4 flat. Number two.
Cut number two.
A ground ball in the infield to Gleyber Torres. Throws to first in time. Ball game over. Eastern Division in the American League over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Well, the New York Yankees have clinched the American League East. Now they will play.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Sorry. Who are they going to play? Don't know. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of a sucker for that call.
Yeah.
I like it.
Did that happen with the Cardinals? The Cardinals win.
Win. And that's the thing. I like how he puts the different emphasis on win, too.
Yeah.
Yes, the Yankees win 5-2 despite... Let's just be honest, man. Is it fair to call it a collapse? And I'm
no.
He did another day.
Four walks. Four.
I mean, I
get the bat off your shoulder, kid.
You guys are not watching the well-disciplined judgment of Aaron Judge.
I see what he did.
He had two strikes on him in every AB. Yeah. He walked four times.
That's pretty.
He's not swinging at junk.
No.
That
would hurt.
Let's see. I want to say he took about five swings yesterday.
That's
first pitch of the game, lined a rocket to Chapman. Everything else in that was either fouling it off or he just didn't swing.
All I see here is Alice is 0-for-1.
Yeah. But all I see is still a triple crown.
Yeah, he's still MVP. Got it. Yep.
And
MVP candidate.
Seven straight. Candidate.
He's just candidate. He's going to get some votes.
I'd say it's coming down. You know what? I will say this. I don't know how anyone's voting, but I'm going to say in the American League, I think it's coming down to two players.
Okay,
Aaron and Judge.
Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. I'm saying it's a two-person race. I don't think anyone's. What if they split the vote and it ends up being
Co?
No, I don't think. I think like the odds of that happening are.
You know who actually is having a really good season all of a sudden? Is Trout.
Yeah.
He's missed like forever. He's got 37 home runs.
Mike Trout, who's never going to be the same again.
Yeah.
That one.
Yes.
I mean, and for a team that's going to win 74 games or something.
Yeah. Mike, honestly, I got to be. He's batting 275, 37 home runs, 77 RBI.
How many games has he played?
He has played 112, and he has 411 at-bats. Like, usually right now you're about at 605 something. Yeah, that's... I wonder, you know what would be interesting? I wonder where, I got to do this. This shouldn't be that hard to divide 411 by 77 on one hand and then find out. I wonder how far off of Judge he is in home runs per at bat.
Yeah, I don't think it's that far.
Honestly. So the Yankees win, Yankees win. The Cardinals
also, if Trout had 60 home runs, nobody would know about it.
No, they would not. No, they would not. Which would be more impressive, if Aaron Judge hit 70 home runs in a full season or Mike Trout hit 60 home runs in 120 games?
That.
Yeah. But yeah. Do you think it would get...
That's yeah. basically a home run every two games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good math there.
Yeah.
That's pretty good
But math. Shohei pitches.
He does. He pitches. Just like Trout the Live Golf Tour is pitching right
Cut
now.
Number three.
The PGA Tour for the last 20 or 30 years have had all the best players in the world. That will never be the case again. Live Golf is here to stay, and this type of divisive talk is doing nobody good.
I thought about editing that, and I'm like, this is too good to not edit.
Yeah.
Just.
Also.
Divisive.
Divisive? I thought it was divisive.
I go with divisive.
Same. I am Friday, dude.
I go with contentious.
Yeah, very. So here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
The Live Golf Tour circuit thing, according to Golf Week, is nearing a deal to buy airtime on Fox Sports.
Wow.
To see the events broadcast
like
on
an infomercial.
Exactly like an infomercial.
Set it, forget
like
it.
A Live commercial.
Five events into the inaugural season. It will expand to 14 next year. And it sounds like they're right there. They've been on YouTube, but they're right there with this deal. That's incredibly interesting. And I'd like to know what the Golf Tour's end on that is. Only because I feel like they've got enough, you know, stuff to – why would they need to – it's not like there's all kinds of content on the on Fox, on FS1. I feel like that's something that they could – they don't need to buy infomercials. And it's kind of sad for them that they are. Unless they're getting like – unless it's a situation where they're saying, actually, we figured it out. We're better off buying the airtime and we keep all the ad revenue because we think we're going to make a profit.
Oh, it could be.
But the problem is, and this is where Liv's ultimately screwed, what sponsors are hopping on board? Because every sponsor that hops on board, not everybody's going to feel this way. Maybe not even a majority of people will feel this way. But if XYZ Plumbing decides to, or Watch Company, decide, oh, blood money, we're boycotting. And yeah. I just don't know that they want that when there's other options as well. I got huge news. Oh, yeah. No, not that one. This weekend, it's the grand opening of Amy Ace Hardware and Amy's Outdoor Living.
Hey, you should go.
You know what? I think I'm going to. You know the last time I did a remote appearance? I don't. Like, that's how long it's been. I truly.
Remote.
I don't know. Yeah. But I'm going to be out there starting at 10 a.m. Here's what's cool about this. Amy has been around since, like, 1900 and something.
It's 1908.
Still family-owned and operated. That is right. That's good knowledge. This is the first time they've opened a second location.
It's going to do well.
It's going to do really well. Eldorado Hills Town Center, that's Kevin Nagel's place, man. That's a nice town center they have.
Ace I like your town center.
It's a great town center. Amy Ace Hardware has been family-owned for more than 100 years. My dad used to take me to Amy when I was a kiddo. I used to get the popcorn, shockingly. It's probably where my popcorn addiction started. I'm going to be out there Friday, 10 a.m. for the ribbon-cutting ceremony. All weekend long, vendors will be there to assist you with whatever questions you have, from barbecues to tools, paint, yard, garden. And best of all, you're going to find insane, you'll never be able to get it again, grand opening savings as well. No surprise to most of you, I ran out of the music bed, number one. And number two, Friday, you're going to find me with the Traeger rep. Showing you everything you want to know about a Traeger. Saturday and Sunday, there will be free hot dogs. Free hot dogs from 11 to 2. Don't miss that. Inside the store, store within a store, huge selection, outdoor furniture, barbecues, fire pits, and more. It's a grand opening of Amy Ace Hardware and Amy's Outdoor Living in the Eldorado Town Center, Highway 50 at the La Trobe Road exit. Hope to see you out there when we get back. Hey, NBA drama. It's fantastic. But which team's going to be the most dramish? No, that'd be dramatic. We'll tell you next.
Sactown Sports 1140 is broadcasting live on YouTube.
To me, it's a must-watch.
Check out the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross and the Cattles and Rami Show.
Plus, get exclusive content.
Search Sactown Sports 1140 on YouTube. You know they've been here for a combined 50 years.
Yay!
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports 1140.
I got my lawns wrong.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm going to do a Mount Lawnmower now.
Mow the lawn.
Lawn
Miller.
Simmons.
Lawn Miller?
Yeah.
Who's that's Von Miller, you weird.
Lawn Kruger?
Lawn. Long drive home. Lawn.
Longfellow. Deeds.
Henry Longfellow. No, Lawn. Come on.
Howie Lawn.
Lawn Simmons.
Lawn Kruger.
Lawn Smith. He used to play for the Braves.
Lawn Kruger. Why are you avoiding Lawn Kruger?
Lawn Kruger. I said Lawn Kruger.
No, you didn't.
I said it during the break.
Laundry.
He's got it. Lawn.
Mow the lawn.
Mow the lawn. Lawn Simmons. Lawn Kruger. Laundry. Mount Lawnmower. Thank you. Welcome back. Carmichael Dave. Jason Ross.
Lawn darts?
Launder.
Ooh. Money launder? Mm-hmm. Lawn darts? Lawn darts not a thing anymore.
What do you mean?
Well, apparently, like, people got stabbed.
Oh.
Remember the whole, like, metal lawn darts?
Yeah, I think they're playing wrong.
Oh, well, no, I don't think the object is to stab people.
Oh.
But I do think that, yeah, people, you know, got stabbed. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That's a great transition. I do think people got stabbed.
Back
good morning
to you.
Good
morning. Other news.
Zebra Paul, Greg, Brian, all of y'all, Kevin, RH, Pedro. I know MC's lurking. So, come on, MC, say hi. I know
got
you're
the
lurking.
Transition.
I know you're okay.
Speaking of stabbing, will there be backstabbing in Brooklyn this year?
Yes, there will be. Heck of backstabbing is my kids.
Find
say.
Out during the 2022-2023 NBA drama.
Oh, there's so much drama. There's so much drama in the NBA. It is. But which team will have the most drama? It's got to be the Nets, right?
Going in, for sure. I don't know why it wouldn't be. I guess if it's just smooth sailing, but most seasons aren't.
There's a situation in Boston I don't know if you guys heard about.
So. Of course, Boston and Phoenix.
Phoenix's starting center hates the team.
Yeah.
Let me just – I'm gonna throw something out there, though. I think both Boston and Phoenix are prime candidates for it's us against the world locker room. And that's a very dangerous locker room.
I could be 100% wrong on this. I feel like Boston's, like, won't even be a story. Unless they're bad.
Oh, you mean like they'll just go
like
through –
Like in December, like, will we forget's not the right word, but – Like, just they just are playing.
Yeah, I do think it will.
It's not again. A player. The coach is now removed. I just think they'll move on.
Well, I also think it's a thing where Joe Mazzulla and who do they're asking they're talking to the Clippers.
Yeah, Larinaga.
Yeah, Jay about Larinaga. One of their who was there for a long time to go. Like, hey, Joe, we've got a ton of confidence.
Yeah, but
and for. For Mazzulla, it's like a almost lose-lose. Like, if the Celtics are able to kind of mimic their record last year, and even if they made the finals again, and let's say they did exactly what they did last year,
mm-hmm.
and they were quarters away from an NBA championship. Well, good job, dude. You took Coach Udoka's team, and you maintained it, and yeah, well done. Any other result? Oh, Ime Udoka, it's missing, and
right. Yeah,
this guy doesn't really—he's not that. It's like he has to basically win a championship to get the full thumbs up.
Right.
I think, and again, I could be wrong. I think, especially in Phoenix, I mean, it's a terrible thing that happened. Wow, that sounds like I'm about to be like, but horrible things, horrible owner, good resolution because he's gone. But I feel like it has the potential for a team like the Suns to go in and be like, you know what? Here's the deal. We're the Phoenix Suns. We still have pretty much everyone. We're still rolling out there with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, whatever they do with Jay Crowder gone. What are they doing at power forward? But they have a very good and deep team.
Yeah.
And we're really pissed about how our historic collapse last year in Game 7 against Dallas. We were the winningest team in the sport last year. We choked in the playoffs. And all this stuff, everyone's ripping our organization, the owner thing, the whole thing. Phoenix, I think, is a prime candidate to come out and just dominate everybody because they're laser focused and they all have chips on their shoulders.
Yeah, I think Phoenix, to me, the dysfunction is less about Sarver. It's about this Ayton game seven, not talking to coach, doesn't seem to be too thrilled with his contract. That to me seems would have more of it, could have more of an impact on the team.
I read, God, was it Mark Spears? It was, I read an article on Ayton, right? It was from July, right after he signed his deal. And his whole thing then was like, yeah, I'm just trying to keep it. It's all a business and it is about the money. And, you know, I didn't take it personally. It's not an emotional thing. Like, I was either going to be here or Indiana. And he talked about how he would have been excited to team up with Tyrese Halliburton and help a young building Indiana team with that core right there. But then seemed very matter of fact about, you know, this is generational wealth and I'm going to go back to the Bahamas and celebrate and do some great charitable work. And then now you fast forward to now and you're right. It does sound like, but I got to think with that amount of money, and by the way, they can't trade him. He's got a no trade clause. I don't think they can move him till January or something like that. I got to think that once the season starts, and maybe I'm wrong, once the season starts, once they start winning, it's fine.
Probably.
I think it's going to be fine.
But, you know, it's under the surface there. It could bubble.
Right. Yes. No, totally. The Lakers, I mean, you always got to look at the drama there. Russell Westbrook, I still, you know, I'm surprised he's still there. I'd be surprised if he was there to start the season, but it does kind of look more and more like he will be. All the word was that they're doing everything they can to move him.
Yeah.
They just can't move him. I mean, it's
yeah, how desperate will they be? I think you can always do it. It's just what are the Lakers willing? Like, they have to give up more. Like, their thought is, hey, we're giving up a really talented player. True, kind of was more talented. The price tag is crazy.
It's one of the more toxic. It's like a top three most toxic contract in the sport. And the silly thing is Russell Westbrook last year, it's almost like Russell Westbrook averaged 4 points, right? He averaged 18.5 points, 7.5 boards, 7 assists. Those are incredibly good numbers. There's also, you know, some thought when you go deeper in the numbers. But guess what? He shot 44%. He just can't shoot threes. Shot 29% from beyond the arc. This is a team that was under 500 and missed the playoffs last year with LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis on it. I don't expect to see that again. Unless Father Time has LeBron in a bear hug, Anthony Davis goes back to street clothes. But I would say this, Jason. Is there another team in the NBA with a wider top-to-bottom ratio than their ceiling and their floor? I don't think there's another team even close to the range that the Lakers could finish with wins.
Because I didn't envision – look, a lot of people picked them to win the whole thing last year, but I didn't envision that floor being possible. Like, they were really bad.
Same.
Just bad.
Same.
So I thought, an off year, they're what, a 4 seed?
Yeah.
5 seed?
That would be an off year.
And they missed and didn't really have a chance to make it. So, yeah, I think to your point, I think if everything went right, if Westbrook found a groove with them and LeBron played like he did last year and AD plays 70 games, I can't imagine why they wouldn't be good.
Well, they also have Patrick Beverley.
Mm-hmm.
They also picked up Damian Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think the Lakers are going to be much better this year than they were last year, and I don't think that's saying much, and I don't like it.
Yes.
I don't like it. What I do like, I like my friends over at American Energy. I honestly do. I'm really glad they're a part of the show. And, you know, it may not feel like it yet, but we are officially in fall. The weather is still a little warm. 1 minute it's cool and raining. We saw that a week ago Sunday. Next day, it's warm and sunny. It was like, dude, it still feels like it's mid-high 90s every flipping day. But what can make you comfortable inside is knowing that your air conditioner furnace will be working properly and efficiently for whatever temperature it might be outside. Take advantage of American Energy's $49 AC or furnace, 30-point tune-up today. I've done it, and guess what? My HVAC system just cruised through the 114-degree summer. Make sure you and the rest of your family are ready for the changing weather. Call American Energy today at 916-520-9990 or visit AmericanEnergyAir.com. Now, here's the thing. They've been around since 1981, and they are a Sacramento-born and bred company. That's important. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They are your second opinion partner. Easy, convenient payment options, the same as cash, low monthly payments. What else do you need? 520-9990. AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. First day of practice for the Kings. We got stories and lots of running. We'll do that next.
Get your 49ers fix every week with the Return of the Empire podcast, featuring Jay Mars and 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
Let's go, Niners! Go!
At SacktownSports.com.
Your local sports leader.
Stimulating conversation about kitchen gadgets and baseball cards.
I think that's really crazy interesting.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports 1140.
You know what? Let's roll with it. Why not, right? Let's just roll with it.
That's what we do. We roll.
Let's just roll with it. That's why they love us. Mike Brown had some things to say yesterday post-practice as we get into camp. It's camp time. Wouldn't it be great if training camp was actually a camp? And they're like, no. And everybody had to stay at the facility. And they had, like, bunk beds and stuff. And then they had, like...
S'mores.
Yeah. No, I was just switching them up. Yeah. I went to like two camps in my life. And I had fun.
What grade is there where there's a trip, like a...
It depends on the school.
Yeah, I guess so. But like fourth or fifth grade?
So fourth grade, we went to Yosemite. And then in fifth grade, I transferred to another school. And that year, they went to Yosemite.
Oh,
2 years in a row,
baby. Bonus.
Sixth grade, we went to Yosemite. We went to...
Let me guess. Sly Park?
Okay, so that was...
Is that a thing here?
Yeah. So Sly Park was at the school I transferred away from.
Got
so
it.
Third grade was a place called Malakoff Diggins, where you paid
That's
for gold.
Great name.
I swear to
Did
God.
Did you find any?
We found little flakes and stuff, and like, swear to God, I got like a tiny little, I say nugget. It was like a breadcrumb of gold.
I like gold.
I thought, like, I screamed so, I literally thought I was a millionaire.
Yeah.
And then it was like worth like $2, and we had to give it all like to them.
Oh, that's a scam.
But we all got like a
that's
little...
That's like child labor.
It is.
Law issues.
Yeah, it was... So Malakoff Diggins in third grade, Yosemite in fourth grade.
Rich now.
Right, exactly.
Did you go to the Headlands?
Did you say Marin Headlands?
Yes.
Marin Headlands was also fifth grade, Mrs. Edwards' class, yes.
What happens there?
Stay overnight.
You stay spaghetti. Overnight. We had different parts of the camp. Like, we were the banana corps. We had a little banana, and you'd enter in with a little banana flag. Okay. So, and we would, this was awesome. You hiked, and you had a little book, and your job was to look for, like, this plant.
And this tree.
Okay. And all that. You'd identify them and stuff, and each team would get points, right?
And so, the stupid kids in class get poison oak.
We actually did have somebody get poison oak so bad, but their parent was on the trip. Thank God. They just kind of took little Billy over.
No, ours were the dumb kids. Like, all the dumb kids got poison oak.
And then in sixth grade, a place called Alliance Redwoods.
Was this reunited with the Banana Corps?
It wasn't the Banana Corps. It was the – or no, it was not the – did I say Banana Corps?
You did.
I meant Apple Corps. And there was Apple – I'm stupid. There was – no, let's not move on, Jay. It was the Apple Corps and the Banana Splits.
Okay.
Those were the teams. Yeah. You had each one that did their thing.
Okay.
I think the Kings camp should be like that.
Okay.
Mike Brown would be camp counselor,
yes.
Have a whistle around his neck. All the players would have braces. Yeah. And he'd have things to say like, how do we and how are we going to define the roles?
Yeah, everybody's had an individual player development meeting already in the offseason. So everybody has a general feel of what we are looking for from each guy individually, hopefully coinciding with what our team goals are.
Now, I think what's interesting there is what's different is, okay, this is what I expect of you, Dave and Jay and Jason, whatever. But the way I look at it too is like, does Kevin Herter know today he's starting? Does Malik Monk know today he's starting? Does Davion Mitchell know today he's starting? You know, like
right.
Where I know what I want from you, but does that mean I'm getting that in 17 minutes or 33 minutes?
Should that matter?
I think you have to define the role. Well, but I think there could be a fluid nature to it. I want competition.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have to tell you today that you're starting.
Sure.
I want to go through camp and go, you know what? I've seen six practices, and now I go, player X needs to be out there so many minutes. I'm going to start this player.
The confusing thing, I think, where I'm going is, should a role change whether you're playing 5 minutes or 30 minutes? And I feel like on that end, no. But – does a role change based on who you're sharing the floor with?
Maybe. I see what you're asking. Yeah. Because I would say, no, I would probably want the same things to fit everybody's skill set.
Sure.
But I guess what I was going is, do I know that, and I know starter, finisher, yeah, it's a real, but De'Aaron Fox knows he's starting. Domantas Sabonis knows he's starting. They know they need a lot from those players. Right. But I feel like there's a lot of good players in between that, between Barnes, Holmes, Herder, Monk, Mitchell. They can't all play every minute, right. But is, I don't know. I don't know if it has to be as clear as, hey, you know what? At the 8-minute mark, I'm always bringing in Davion Mitchell. Some coaches coach that way. Others
they
like,
do.
I'm not today. It's not the best matchup today, or it's, I'm playing him later. I don't know how specific it has to get. I just think there has to be a rough idea of, I wouldn't want to go to the gym every night as a player that's kind of on the fringe going,
I don't know
if I'm playing.
Well, it's one thing to not, well, that's what I was going to say. It's one thing to not know when you're going in the game. It's another thing to not know if you're playing that night, which has got to be hell.
Yeah, because like if you always know you're going in and then boom, two quick fouls, oh, I'm going in sooner than normal because of the circumstance. But yeah.
I also, you know, I've said before, I do, and again, it's a guess, but I do think Malik Monk will end up being the starting two. And one thing, I do wonder if it matters, because you got to, again, I know there's a thought that Davion Mitchell could be in the mix. I personally don't think they're going to go Fox Mitchell.
Okay.
Backcourt. Could be wrong. But if it's truly between Kevin Herter at 6'7 and Malik Monk at 6'3 and just different looks and different styles, I do kind of wonder if, you know, we talked about Fox, Monk, backcourt, Kentucky, you're making your star happy. There's obviously chemistry there already. He's going to have more chemistry with Monk than he is with Herter, at least at first. But I also wonder if just looking at the business standpoint as well, and I don't claim to think that this is going to be a deciding factor, but Kevin Herter didn't have a choice. Kevin Herter was forced to come to Sacramento through a trade. Malik Monk was pitched.
Yeah.
Malik Monk was wooed.
Yeah.
And it's not like Malik Monk signed. The Kings did not overpay, weirdly enough, for a change. They didn't overpay for Malik Monk.
It's a good contract.
It's a very good league contract. And so, again, the conspiracy theorist in me goes, well, yeah, Monk wants to come here and play with Fox. But I guarantee you that part of their conversation had to be Fox saying, dude, be great if you came here, but you got to do what's best for you and your family. Sure. And I get it. You got to think, it's one thing for Monk to go from Los Angeles, from the Lakers and LeBron James and Anthony Davis to Sacramento.
Right.
It would be another thing for him to do all that to come off the bench.
Yeah.
So again, I maybe that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be part of the weight on the balance beam.
The other one, I'm just assuming this. I could be wrong, but I've thought all along Keegan Murray's starting.
I agree.
I guess there's a chance he's not.
Who?
I mean, then you're doing something like Herter and Barnes and Monk. Or, I mean, which you then go, okay, that's way more experience. But, I mean, Keegan's looked the part of an NBA-ready guy to me. I thought he was great in the summer. I think he'll even be better with more established players.
I agree.
Playing off of Sabonis, I think he would be a really good compliment. I guess that's the only other wrinkle, but I mean, again, my assumption is that he would start.
I would fall off my chair unconscious and have to have like water thrown on me and then smelling salts and then a kick in the junk to wake me up if Keegan Murray didn't start.
That's a lot. I'm not really rooting for that scenario, but that'd be an interesting visual.
I would be that shocked if Keegan Murray and not just because of how he's played, which, it, you know, again, summer league, but certainly looks like he's played his way into being an NBA starter. But just because of where the Kings are, the fact that you want to get him minutes, you want to develop him, this, that, whatever. The fact that he is thought to be a plus defender. I mean, he checks all the boxes. I would be shocked if Monty McNair and Mike Brown hadn't already penned him into the starting lineup. And we're going to talk to Harrison Barnes. Well, we talked to Harrison Barnes, but we're going to hear, you all are going to hear from Harrison Barnes here in a bit, and De'Aaron Fox. And I think with Harrison, one thing I've been thinking about lately is, this isn't going to sound right when I say, are we taking Harrison Barnes for granted? But with everything else going on, he's in a contract year. He actually had quietly a pretty darn...
There was times he was like the beginning of the year, he was their best player.
He was, easily. But when you look at his year last year, he shot 47%. shot 39.5, but 40% basically from behind the arc. 16.5 points, 5.5 boards, 2.5 assists. He had a very quiet, efficient year last year.
And I think,
No, and I was just going to say, and when he was with the Warriors and you saw this, and even I actually saw this in North Carolina, and I'm old enough to remember that, Harrison Barnes can be a help defender.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to defend
when
he's engaged. I wonder if we're looking at that going, they're not very deep at the three. Well, Herter could slide down. Keegan could slide up. You know, they could, maybe we could see a Sabonis, Holmes, Keegan look at time. I don't know. But I wonder if the three is a little more set than we think. Because I think Harrison Barnes is halfway out the door to a lot of people, including myself, because he's expiring.
Well, and, you know, we joked about this going into media day, but I would say just visually looking at the player, the one player that looked the most different, like transformed their body, was Trey Lyles.
Yes.
He looked leaner.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to make him more fleet of foot. He was nice in his role last year, but if he can maybe play some three, I mean, I don't know. His frame looks like he's quicker. Now, I don't know that he is, but he looks different. He's the one I would say that looked the most different from last season to this season.
Also, Terrence Davis is 25 and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw...
I think he's going to be great this year.
You know what we should do? We should have a day at some point before the season starts. We should have a positive and negative day. Or even if it was just a positive-negative segment. Because I can look at this team, and I can 100% give you 90 reasons why they're not going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be a huge disappointment this year. But I also think, like, if we played the game of let's twist everything positive, Harrison's in a contract.
Yeah.
Rashawn Holmes has a chip on his shoulder and looks fantastic and got zero chances to play with Domantas Sabonis. Davion Mitchell has developed and has been working. Obviously, we know his work at
this point.
Keegan Murray is early one of the favorites to be a rookie of the year. De'Aaron Fox averaged 27.4 points with Domantas Sabonis. Like, we could literally go through the whole thing and go, this is a deep, solid, talented team that added shooting, and Mike Brown is going to make them defend sixth seed.
Right.
You can make that argument.
Sure. I think that'll be fun. We'll do that. We'll do that in a segment. Okay.
Kevin Herter is going to. Kevin Herter just seems like a dude that's just going to come in. He's going to be a fan favorite.
I think so.
I think he's going to be 100% a fan favorite here. Headband or no?
Yes, headband Herter.
I think Malik Monk is going to be. That's the other thing. Adding these guys, obviously, who cares as long as they can play. But I think both Monk and Herter are actually they're going to be very popular here in Sacramento. I think Malik Monk's going to enjoy himself. I'm just can we just start the season now? I want to see Keegan Murray score 18 in his debut.
Yeah.
I want to see Herter be sixth man of the year. Davion Mitchell. Yeah.
Programming note. Starting the season on Monday, October 3rd, your Sacramento Kings take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. right here and exclusively on Sactown Sports. Back to you.
Well, and you can also watch it, though. You can watch it and hear it a bunch of other places, right?
No.
No, you can't.
Unless you're one of those, like, stealers of content people.
And, you mean unless you're a felon?
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to go to jail?
You want to go to hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to die afterwards?
Wow.
So just listen.
Yeah, you go to her first, then you die.
You're basically saying listen or die?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Also, Sunday, October 16th.
It's a new slogan.
Golden One Center. Doors open at 2. Festivities kick off at 3. We're talking about Kings Fan Fest. You have to reserve tickets, but they're free. Go to kings.com to do so. Join Sacktown Sports. That's us. And the Kings for Fan Fest. Activities will include skills challenge with players, 3-on-3 National Cup Tournament. You can meet Slamson and King's Entertainers. Analysis with Kyle Draper and Katie. How is she going to handle it? Kid Zone. Oh, basketball. Special giveaways, discounted food, drink, and merch. That sounds like fun.
Some merch.
Are there going to be little basketballs? And is there going to be a dance-off? How is a dance-off not in there for the rookies?
Between Kyle and Katie.
Oh, my God. Keegan Murray dance-off. That's actually good. He just does like a little finger in the air thing.
Like he just doesn't care.
We'll take a break when we come back. Hey, let's get to some other NBA stories going around, including Jimmy Butler on his hair. And Lonzo Ball might be Gonzo Ball because he's not. We'll update you on his injury next.
your home for the most comprehensive 49ers coverage.
Debo, Bosa, to our very own Armstead.
The 49ers Authority, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader.